At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A North Texas school district has announced new security measures, and they include backpack restrictions. KERA's Eric Austin has more on the announcement by Ennis ISD, home to about 6,000 students in Ellis County.
Starting this fall, all students in the Ennis School District, including those in pre-kindergarten, must bring clear PVC backpacks to school. Junior and high school students will wear student IDs, and security gates will be installed on campuses. In a letter to parents, Superintendent John Chapman says the security measures will not be convenient, but he's asking for the patience of staff, students, and families. Some of the changes are effective immediately. NSISD says junior high and high school students will be chosen at random for backpack searches. Staff and visitors are being asked to park away from school buildings. The school district says it's hiring additional police officers and that K-9 units will visit campuses more frequently. Eric Austin, KERA News.
In the aftermath of the bombings that shook Austin over the past several weeks, authorities continue to comb through evidence looking for a motive. Austin Interim Police Chief Brian Manley talked with Texas Standard today. He told host David Brown they're still analyzing the video left behind the 23-year-old suspect.
There's obviously a lot of forensic evidence to go through, still going through, I would imagine. But two key pieces, one was the FedEx videotape from Sunset Valley. This is the FedEx location at which the alleged serial bomber tried to put packages into the FedEx system. Then there was also that 25 to 28-minute video. Does it give any insight into motive?
It doesn't give specific insight into the motives that this community was talking about, you know, such as hate or terrorism or things along that line. This tape right now is being kept confidential due to the investigation that we still have ongoing, but there's a lot in the media that's already talking about things that were allegedly said on that tape. And what I would stand by at this point is the fact that it was definitely, I've called it a confession, and I will still call it that, because he admits to what he did, and he gave very specific information about the bombs that he built, and that would be information that really only the bomb maker would have known. But as far as a specific motive, outside of just things that are being widely reported, mm-hmm. such as a lack of empathy and just feelings of his own character, there was nothing that led to either a specific motive or, more importantly, to why individual victims were selected.
Obviously, with the alleged serial bomber now dead and so many people wanting to know what's on that tape, as you try to balance the interest between making it public now or holding it off for the investigation, what is it that makes you decide that it's better not to release it to the public right now?
We don't want to create the ability for others to try and follow in his footsteps, to try and learn from what he did, from his self-identified mistakes, or really in any way to idolize him for what he did. And, you know, by putting it out there, and, you know, I have yet to speak his name publicly, and I won't, because we just don't want to recognize such a public way where others can use it for their benefit, what he did to our community.
In the aftermath, a lot has been focused on the use of the language. And in fact, it seemed like you acknowledged that when people were talking about whether or not the serial bomber was a terrorist or not. And we've covered why someone is called a terrorist or why they are not, because there's a legal definition for that. But you seem to come out and talk about how this person had committed terroristic acts. Why does it matter whether this person is considered a terrorist or not, in your opinion?
It's a great community concern on domestic terrorism, and what do we classify as that? You know, what at the end of the day, it really is a legal definition for the prosecutors to pay attention to whether or not they're going to charge someone with a terrorism-related crime. I think the community is interested just because of the definition of terrorism and what counts as terrorism. And I've been, you know, focused very much so on the definition that is put out by the FBI, which requires a specific ideology. And we may get to that point at some day with this investigation. And if so, we will recognize that.
That was Austin Interim Police Chief Brian Manley talking with Texas Standard's David Brown. Every week, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, a program that wants to match veterans struggling to find work with jobs that actually pay the bills. Business Insider ranked Dallas-Fort Worth the 11th most high-tech city in the world last year, up from 28th the year before. As Courtney Collins reports, there's plenty of demand for tech workers, just not enough supply.
Guadalupe Pina, who likes to go by Lupe, has an impressive resume. A stint in the National Guard, the Army Reserves, and the Marine Corps. He's got a bachelor's degree, and a master's. Still, after leaving the Marines, he couldn't find work.
When I left the service, it was a little bit of a struggle. The first time around in the Marine Corps is just having to come back out and into the real world and just trying to find a job.
He worked in banking for a while, processing mortgages. Then he was laid off. That's when he decided to finish work on his master's degree in management information systems. He figured the job search would go much more smoothly after grad school.
During that time, of course, I thought, well, okay, now I have a master's. Maybe it would be a lot more easier. And then I kind of found out it wasn't that easy. I was being overqualified or underqualified. And at that point, I was going on a year and a half.
A year and a half of unemployment, despite years of military service and higher education. Pina says he was barely making it financially.
Having to live day by day with a credit card, used it all up to the limit, and then finally to the point of almost breaking down.
So he decided to try something new. Classes in tech fundamentals and coding offered by a nonprofit called NPower, spelled just like it sounds, the letter N followed by power. This afternoon, about 20 students are paired off with laptops in a classroom near downtown Dallas.
All right, so this is, you're going to be configuring wireless routers.
The idea behind these free classes is to train veterans who already do well on a team and are highly skilled to fill vacant jobs in the tech industry. NPower's program director, Brittany Warden, says there are more than enough of those to go around.
A lot of employers we talk to tell us that they have all these technology jobs but no local talent, so they're having to find talent from other countries and bring them in to do these jobs.
The NPower classes range from 12 to 26 weeks and include a paid internship. Warden says completing just the tech fundamentals class can open all kinds of doors.
Service desk, these people can fix computers remotely, they can fix them in front of you, they can build them, they can set up networks, they can do your software updates.
The students in this class are about a week away from their big exam. If they pass, they'll get an A-plus certification, which can pave the way for good-paying jobs. Starting out at $40,000 a year is a safe bet. But Brittany Warden says some salaries can be as high as $88,000, and that's just after getting through tech fundamentals. Additional work in coding or cybersecurity means six-figure salaries are possible.
We need the core. We need these. We're going to use these.
For a lot of these veterans, that kind of money is life-changing.
Some of them are in the process of being evicted. Some of them have not worked in a long time. Some of them are homeless. We've had veterans living out of their cars if they were fortunate enough to even have a car.
Which is why these tech classes come with additional support. NPower works with social service agencies to make sure the veterans enrolled have food and shelter. El Centro College pays for bus passes, so everyone has a way to get to class. In the 4 years this program has been up and running, about 1,000 veterans have enrolled, and 80% make it through. That means Lupe Pina is just one of the success stories.
You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to accept what life brings you and continue to throw those punches back and say, okay, I made it. This is what I have to do. Finally, I've done it. I got myself out of my slump.
After struggling through unemployment and a career change, he's now a server analyst at the University of North Texas in Denton, earning $70,000 a year and working with colleagues he admires. All it took was some training and a little faith. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
Coming up tomorrow morning, hospitals are doing a better job stopping the spread of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, but superbugs are still deadly. A UT Arlington professor is helping to create something to prevent these infections using a new synthetic nanomaterial. That's tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. And a flash flood watch is in effect for most of the KERA listening area until 7 tomorrow night. The National Weather Service's parts of North Texas could see 2 to 3 inches of rain, with some areas getting up to 5 inches. Some storms could become severe, with damaging winds and large hail. Storms, a possible heavy rain tonight. Should be a low around 55 this evening. Tomorrow, more storms with high around 61. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.